at the meaning of each of those. First, we'll seek to understand what it means to be supported or upheld. And then we'll try to understand God's willing and generous spirit toward us. So first, being held. How many of you have ever felt like you've needed to be held anytime in your life? Yeah, most everybody, there's one or two of you out there that don't like being held. That's okay. All right, good deal. But most of us like to be held, right? Oh, I have three daughters and a son. And there's been many moments in their lives where maybe they've had a difficult day, or maybe they're going through a difficult time in their life when they have just grabbed a hold, sometimes holding on for dear life, just needing to be held. They needed that reassuring arm to hug them and to hold them tight. And you know, there's something in that embrace that is comforting and safe. Kind of a holy embrace if you think about that. Max Lucado, in his book, Just Like Jesus, devotes a whole chapter to this importance of touch about a compassionate heart. And he references Matthew chapter 8, which starts off with a story where Jesus is healing a leper. And in typical Max Lucado fashion, of course, he enhances the story and tells us the background of the leper. Dig into what life would be like for someone who is quarantined from family and friends and work and society itself. He tells of this particular man's five-year journey, just yearning for someone to touch him. That disease was very contagious and very terrible, and so people were deemed untouchable if you had that disease, shunned by their community, put in leper colonies. And can you imagine what it would be like to not be able to touch your spouse, to hold your child or your grandchild, to be with your friends? You would just covet maybe a simple handshake or a warm embrace or a tap on the shoulder, or even that kiss on the lips that you missed from your loved one. Or even just to feel the bump in a crowd, some kind of touch. In the miracle, it's Jesus who initiates the touch. Yes, the physical healing was proclaimed by Jesus' word, and he could have left it right there. Go and be healed. Boom, and he's healed. But the deeper emotional and spiritual healing took place when Jesus dared to reach out and touch someone who was deemed untouchable, because he gave this man what he most desired, to be able to experience the touch of another person. And so for the first thought that comes to my mind when I read this text, Psalm 51, uphold me, it says, I picture God holding us safely and securely in the palm of his hand. And there's something about that picture that gives us reassurance and comfort and hope. It's like the little boy who was frightened one night by a big thunderstorm came rolling in. Terrified, he called from his room, Daddy, I'm scared. His father, not wanting to get out of bed, called back, Don't worry, son. God loves you. We'll take care of you. Well, there was a moment or two of silence. Then the little boy said, I know that God loves me, Dad, but right now I need somebody with skin on. As we journey with Jesus through this Holy Week and experience once again his suffering, death, and resurrection, we realize that Jesus is God with skin on. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Or as John 1:14 shares, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and full of truth. In Psalm 51, that word uphold has a deeper meaning of leaning on for support, are being uplifted and sustained. And it points me to another powerful verse from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41, 10. If you've had a you've had a visit from myself or maybe Pastor Bobby for a pre-surgery, both of us have used this text a few times. So you'll know the words are familiar. Isaiah 41, 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." In those words of Isaiah, there are five pillars that were given to lean on to reassure us that God is there to uplift and sustain us. First of all, and maybe this is a little hard to read, but the first one is God is with us. You know, we say that promise at the end of every church service, God is with us till the end of time. So that promise is there that we need not fear because God's always present. The second is that God is my God. There's no one else to turn to, no other gods. There's only one God, God and God alone. And so God promises to be there for us. The third is that God will strengthen me. You see, God gives us the courage to continue our journey with him by our side, even when things are difficult. The next one is that God will help me. God's there to hear our requests and our prayers and guide us through those trials of life. And the final one comes back to that same word again, that God will uphold me. Once again, we picture God carrying us, guiding us through our life, and guiding us on to that promise of life beyond. And so may we be reminded that God is there to hold us in the palm of his almighty hand. The second thing that we learn from this psalm is that God's Spirit is overflowing. Several translations interpret this as a willing spirit, or others as a free spirit. But the literal meaning of the Hebrew word is generous. God upholds me with a generous spirit is a cleaner translation of this verse. But let's get to the heart of the matter here, which is understanding God's generosity. What's that all about? Well, I turn to James chapter 1, 5, which says this, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given them." You see, God is and always has been and will continue to be a generous giver, showering us with the abundance of his love. In studying the Lord's Prayer, the fourth petition, the fourth request there, "Give us this day our daily bread," we understand in that petition that it's not so much a request that God will provide us with daily bread, but that God will make us aware that these things are gifts. Gifts from a creator who tirelessly is at work for our good and the good of all people. So God provides for our every need. And so when a person asks, well, why do some people do without and others have more than enough? It's because people don't fully understand that things are given to us by God, upon whom everyone depends. So it's not God's problem. God has provided abundantly. It comes down to our problem, a distribution problem, getting and sharing the things that God has given for all people. Well, here's an example of generous giving. A teacher was trying to teach her class a lesson about fractions. That's kind of hard sometimes when you think about that. Some of those gets a little complicated. But after the lesson, she tested one boy who had a large family. "Johnny," she said, "there are six people in your family. Your mom bakes an apple pie. She cuts it up for you. What percentage of the pie will you receive?" Johnny thought for a minute and said, 1/5. The teacher asked again, "Now remember, Johnny, there are six people in your family. How big would your piece of pie be?" Well, again, he answered right away, 1/5. The teacher said, no, Johnny, I think you misunderstand this whole idea of fractions. And Johnny respectfully replied, "You don't understand my mom. She would have said that she didn't want any." Who has a mom like that? Yeah, We have a God like that, right? Back in John 1:16, we hear about that abundant nature of God's generosity. It says, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Wow. How do we even put that into words? How do we understand that? How do we measure that? Well, it's kind of like a cup that keeps overflowing, that can never be emptied. Or we've heard of the miracle of Jesus multiplying the loaves and the fishes in all four of the Gospels. And of course, if Jesus can multiply those things which can nourish us physically, he can multiply even more the abundance of God's love to continually fill us up so that we are assured of God's desire and care and compassion for each and every one of us. And then what greater verse is there in the Bible than John 3:16 to talk about God's generosity? You know the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. We quote that one a lot, but do we really know what's at stake there? It's reminding us that God's love is so generous, so amazing, that it's hard for us to grasp in our minds the height and depth and width of God's love. But folks, this is what is at the heart of our Christian faith and why Holy Week and Easter are so important for us. God's love is exhibited in the act of Jesus going to the cross to essentially take our place, to die for our sins. In Romans 5:8, St. Paul puts an exclamation mark on it when he says this: God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. There it is. Christ died for us. The ultimate gift, the ultimate generosity of God's love. Jesus did that so that we might be saved. Folks, it doesn't get any better than that. That is the heart of our faith. And so as we journey ahead in this Holy Week and Easter to come next Sunday, may we journey with Jesus and experience the fullness, the abundance, the overwhelming love of God. Amen.